Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Reconnect My Heart Podcast, the show that we talk about life's problems that may break or tear a heart apart. On Reconnect My Heart, we'll discuss God's answers to life's problems to reconnect our hearts back to the way He originally made us. I am your host, Brother Prater. I'm so glad you're able to join us. If you have any questions, comments, if you just want to the show, if you want to just listen to the show, feel free to call me at 516-453-9118. That's 516-453-9118. Or you can listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com as well as other podcast platforms. Also, if you want to look at the video version of Reconnect My Heart, you can go to reconnectmyheartpodcast.com. We are available right now. Just in case it may be a still screen, just make sure that you hit the refresh button, and bam, you'll see it live. I want to thank each and every one of y'all who are tuning in, and thank you for your continued presence and support. Sorry, last week I had technical difficulties for those who are on the audio version, and I wanted to make sure that everything was copacetic. But today we had to make some adjustments. But as you see today's title, I have to address what happened this week. First of all, thank God, this week my niece graduated this past Friday at Duncanville High School. So happy to see her, and also happy for my brother. This is my brother's daughter, the brother above me, daughter. And then on This past Tuesday, the 28th, March the 28th, at 6 o'clock in Denton, Texas. My son, my bodyguard, I always call him my bodyguard, he graduated high school. And I know our family were just on cloud nine. You know, I thank God for those who came. Of course, his mom, myself, his sister, his brother-in-law, cousin, my mom, as well as my brothers and their spouses. They came, you know, and I was like, wow. I was very moved because it's, you know, as a father, oftentimes we don't get the acknowledgement that we do. And it just so happened this month is not only Black Music Month, but it's Father's Day month. And so normally for the month of June, I talk about something in correlation to men and Father's Day. But I have to address this. Number one, not only celebrating and thanking God for allowing my son to graduate, but I have to say what transpired, it really got my heart. It wasn't just at my son's school or my son's commencement ceremony, but I've noticed it was a pattern, because my brother that actually graduated this month of May with his doctor's degree, and his wife, Millie, she's a teacher, and many other teachers I've spoken with. When we were at my son's commencement ceremony, I would listen to the valedictorian. I would listen to the students that were talking. They had their platform amongst their peers and the audience, the families of the graduates. I began to listen and notice when I listened, they had the opportunity to say some profound words, but they didn't. As I began to listen, they were saying a whole lot of nothing. Everything seemed so doom and gloom. Matter of fact, I remember in listening to the teacher, listening to the students speaking, and they talked about how advanced she was, and she was skipped up several classes, and all these great words and accolades that she achieved. When the time came for her to speak those 5 minutes, she said 5 minutes worth of nothing. It was so low. It was so depressing. And I'm like, wow. And this is the person that represents the class? I'm like, wow. So as I began to talk to my brother and my sister-in-law, she said, well, they said, look, that's the state of mind that they're at. It's not just them. It's a lot of the students that feel that way. There's no hope. They feel like now they have accomplished the high school diploma, now they're finished. And I was like, no. The stopwatch doesn't stop when you get your diploma. It actually starts. That devil is a lie. I think I had some hair in my eye earlier, so that's why I was rubbing my eye, but the devil is a lie. We're going to go forward. And so I was like, wow. So that's why today I wanted to speak on this particular topic based upon what I saw and heard this week, and got a chance to go to my niece's ceremony, and a lot of the confirmation I received. The question that I have, the adults are asking the students, what did they say? What did they say? Matter of fact, James Brown once sung a song, like a dull knife, you just ain't cutting, talking loud but saying nothing. We have to understand This is our future. Actually, not just our future, but these are our present. And I feel that a lot of us as the adults, sometimes we have mismanaged our time and not invested into those that are under us or those that are coming after us. We still have the platform as if we're dropping it like it's hot and we're trying to live our youthfulness, but we're not depositing into those that are under us or those that are after us. And so it hurt my heart because a lot of these kids now, and I call them kids because they're babies. You know, I remember when I was going through my graduation, I remember the person that spoke. Each one of them, they spoke with hope. They spoke with courage. They challenged us. But also, being realistic, they made sure to tell us to put God first. What, that was in 1991. Well, 2024, everybody want to be, well, you know, we can't say, they think about cancel culture because if they mention the name of Jesus at a ceremony, they feel like, well, you know, it might offend some people. Matter of fact, I'm going to throw it out there. This was the first time in my son's school I ever heard of a school not having a baccalaureate service. And I'm like, what? And so when I think about, they're saying exactly what we have told them or taught them, they're not saying anything. There's no hope in their mindset. There's no hope. Everything is doom and gloom. Everything is, well, you know, That's the way life is. No, it's not. I want to challenge you to let you know, no, it's not. My question is, if God that created the heavens and the earth and created us, do you actually think he created this whole universe, this whole earth with birds and flowers and everything has a purpose except for us? Come on now. God never accidentally made anything. Everything that God made had intent and purpose. God intended for you to be able to be here. Now, how you got here was based upon someone else's decision. But the key thing was God knew that you were going to be here. And you have purpose. You have meaning. But what we have to look at, we have to evaluate what are these people listening to. I would say even the kids, but even some of the adults. I mean, it just people now, they feel so freaking hopeless and helpless. They feel like, well, you know, once you're dead, you're done. No, once you're dead, it's the beginning of eternity. And so I want to challenge each and every one of us. Yes. We can think about making it to heaven, get our life right, accept the Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and go to be with him. That's fine and dandy. Yes, that's my goal, to make it to heaven. I'm going to get to heaven. But while we're here, there's a purpose for me right here. There's a purpose for you right here. So my question is, what are you going to do in the meantime? While you here on this earth, are you willing to fulfill the purpose and plan God has for you? Now, if you don't know, now this is the opportunity for us to seek him. Talk to him. I'm telling you, it ain't hard. I'm telling you from personal experience, it ain't hard. But don't you know, God shows no respect to person. He want to have a relationship with you. God made you with the intent of things right here on this earth. You not only being blessed by them, but also you be able to cultivate, manage the things that he placed here on earth for you. Yeah. Yes. I want each and every one of us to think about it. There is a purpose and a plan and an intent that God orchestrated for you. Okay. Now, I'm going to throw this out there. When we think about those that are under us. You know, I think about right now, I am 51. I'm 51 years old. In 10 more years, I'll be in my 60s. In 10 more years. My question is, in 10 more years, what would you do? Thing right now pertaining to those, I'll say the youth or maybe even the young at heart, they think about right now. They don't think about long term. Everything is a feel-good moment, a microwavable moment right here. But they're not thinking about long-term benefits or consequences. Every decision that you make, there is some outcome. There is some outcome based upon the decision that you make. And don't ever think about, well, I'll figure it out as I go. You don't have time for that. You don't have time for that. I want you right now, for those who may be graduates, and hey, not just graduates, but people that want to listen, not just the young, but even the seasoned, the older. I want each and every one of us to think about, there are decisions that you're making right now that will change the course of your life right now. One of them is who you choose to date. Why did I say who you choose to date? Because who you choose to date will end up being the type of person you choose to marry, or could influence the type of person that you marry. Okay? Also, your friends or people you call friends. You have to think about, when you meet people, do you automatically give them the license to have access to your heart or to your time or to your money? These are the things you got to think about. Yeah, you got a good heart. Oh, you're so trusting. Praise the Lord. Yes, you are. But just because you trust it doesn't mean that everybody else should have the same rights to be trusted also. Something to think about. You got to think about it not from your perspective, but from their perspective. There are some people that are cutthroat. I'm saying it because, like I said, I not only lived it, I work in the jail. And I'm telling you, as a man of God, I'm telling you as a minister, I'm telling you as a brother. Matter of fact, my brother, my gosh, I had a conversation with my older brothers, and they were saying, man, I wish we had a chance to talk to you about some things in life, because I was naive. I didn't know, or I was blinded because I thought that, well, you know, as long as I treat them right, they automatically going to treat me right. Nope. No. Those that know me, I'm a realistic person. And I'm going to say this. I don't mind throwing myself under the bus. I deliberately put myself under the bus and use myself for an example a lot of times. So that way, people can't say, oh, well, I'm talking about them. No. I'm bringing myself up. And also, those that know me, I don't mind sharing my information. What concerns me is the people that are always talking about me behind my back, and they're too scared to tell their information. Those are the people you got to watch. Yeah. So I tell people, listen, the people that talk are the ones that you need to not listen to. And so with that, in the state of the environment that we're in right now, this is a big cry for help for English. They don't know how to not just speak or enunciate. They can't even write. Matter of fact, I found that I was talking to my son maybe last year before last. And I asked him about cursive, because we learned cursive in the third grade in Miss Anglin class at T.D. Terry. Excuse me. And so I asked him about cursive, you know, and he said, oh, we don't write cursive. We never been taught cursive. Huh? I was like, really? Never been taught cursive, and we were taught in the third grade. I'm like, wow. And so that's let me know that right now there's a push for learning, but not a push for knowledge. That old saying, KIP, knowledge is power. Knowledge, when applied, gives you power, but knowledge without application is just unused information. It's just like having shells but no gun. The gun is your actions. Putting what you learn into action, into principle, into a lifestyle. But so many people right now, it hurts my heart. Are we teaching our young? What are they learning? Also, even look at the seasoned people. Look at the older people. Look at my peers. Are we taking time to talk? Are we taking time to listen? Are we taking time to try to learn the youth? Yeah. It's almost like we passing people like hot potato. You know, we see the drug dealers, we see the prostitutes in the streets, talking to them with the, hey, go to church, go to church, go to church. There's nothing wrong with that. I want you to listen to what I'm saying. Instead of us talking and communicating with them and bringing them to church, we just tell them you need to go to church. And then when we get them to church, or if they finally make it to church, we don't spend time or talk to them. We tell them, hey, we talk out there in the street. So it's like a ping pong game. We just talk about, and nobody's spending quality time to befriend them, to talk to them, not just tell them the love of God, but show them the love of God. That's what I'm talking about. Application, showing them, demonstrating. We can easily say, well, you know, this blah, 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 blah. I get so turned off when we get people coupled up talking and ain't working out there. It's time to put some action. It's time to put some actions into the salvation that we're claiming that we have. Yes, we tell people, hey, get right, church, and let's go home. But are we helping them to get right? Are we spending quality time? Hey, all I'm asking, God told us to disciple. Are we discipling others? Something to think about. Yes. So, yes, all-knowing, all-powerful God, die for my sins and theirs. Get that. And theirs. Not just for mine. Theirs, too. Well, you know, I don't think they're right. And I'm going to go and say it. We even try to play God upon people. We try to be in God's shoes. We see somebody in the hospital room, and people ask them, hey, you know, I've ran, I've been tired. I need to give my life to God. Well, you know, you should have did it before you got to say, shut up. That person right then and there asking about being saved. Instead of us, well, see, you shouldn't have done all that. We need to shut our mouth and minister to that person and open up the opportunity for them to accept Jesus Christ, regardless if they're on a sick bed or not, regardless if they're on their sick bed. You don't determine if they're going to hell or heaven. If somebody want to be saved, you open up the opportunity. God has already opened up the opportunity. You just help them along the way. Because you're not the one to determine that. Neither am I. Neither am I. We always think about the thief at the cross. Yeah. But the thing is, we need to be able to show the love of God to people. Look here. We only going by because of their appearance, or going by because of their story, or because of their past. Truth be told, everybody got a past. But thank God for the future. Thank God for the present. This is the day that the Lord has made, and this may be the day that that person come to Christ. But instead of, well, you know, I don't believe in it, shut your mouth and just do what God told you to do. We're so busy trying to determine if that person should go to heaven, if that person should not go to heaven, and that ain't your job. Nor mine. It's time for us to be about our Father's business and disciple, to help, to minister, to get people into the kingdom of God. That's what we need to do. We look here. Time is too short for us to be gossiping, backbiting, or even hindering people from going to church or getting saved or knowing God. I said it, and I don't take it back. I don't care. My attitude now, I really don't care. I'm about soul winning. I'm about doing what God told for us to do. If we demonstrated what Jesus did on earth, what did he do? He went to people. He welcomed them. He talked to them. You know, the woman at the well. Hey, Samaritan woman. What about the woman that was caught in the adultery? What about the woman that was caught in adultery? What did he ridicule her? Told her to go. Go. Think about it. But what about if that would have been us instead of Jesus? We'd probably still be right there talking about her. Hey. But see, that was the deeper issue. That was the deeper issue. Yeah, she was caught in adultery, but guess what? Hey, what about the ones that brought her? They brought her, but they didn't bring the guy. Think about that. Think about that. So I'm saying all that to say this. We got to be a bad example. So that way we can be able to teach these people, teach these young people, so they can articulate, so they can learn from us. They can cling from us. Because, like I said last Sunday, that diploma that they're receiving, that diploma that they receive is more than the diploma that they completed the course. That diploma is a baton. Look, have we educated them to run the course? Have we instilled principles, life's principles, godly principles? Have we instilled, or are we too busy trying to kill, trying to assassinate? Yeah, my heart goes out because these young people, they're so helpless. And I'm looking. I see it at work. And I'm not just talking about the young inmates. I'm talking about the young officers. I'm telling you what I see. And that's just a fraction of society. So, yeah, we got work to do. So how they talk, it's a reflection or lack of reflection of what we have communicated with them with, spend quality time with. Now, there may be some that may not receive the advice, receive the information that we give them. True, there may be some that don't. But have we done our part to try to make sure that at least they have the opportunity? Have we done our part? So this might be a little different conversation on this podcast, but it just hurt my heart. These young people, some of them, all they think about they're good for is just to have sex. I'm talking about the girls. You know, matter of fact, it hurt my heart. I'm pretty sure some of y'all saw it. There was a video that was showing a little girl, a little elementary girl, getting on the mic, what she want to be when she grow up, and she got up and said, I want to be pregnant. That was heartbreaking. Why would she say that? We don't need to ridicule her. Girl, why did you? No. This is an opportunity to dig a little deeper. Why did she say that? What did you mean? Oh, okay. What if she think being pregnant means you're going to have a baby that's going to love you? What if she's lacking love? What if her parents, I don't know her, I'm just giving some observations. What if she felt like there was a baby brother or baby sister that came into her family, and now they're getting all the attention? What if she feel like she could be able to give the love that she lacked to someone that came from her? Let's just say she was 6 years old, 7 years old. What does a seven-year-old kid know about being pregnant? Shucks, what does a 27-year-old kid know about being pregnant? Huh? Think about it. Yeah, we can talk about them, but I don't want to look. I don't want to talk about them. I want to talk to them. We need to talk to them. We too busy talking about folks. Let's start talking to folks. Like I said, I hate, and this is maybe this is me getting on a soapbox. I get tired of hearing about people and they talking about folks instead of talking to folks. You know, hey, it's sickening. So this is what we got to do. We got work to do right now. I saw that was right before my eyes. I was talking to my brother, and I saw yesterday we were watching an old Dallas Cowboys video, and it was Roger Staubach, and he talked about the Hail Mary. He passed the ball. He threw the pass to Drew Pearson, and that particular play was now called the Hail Mary. And he said that all he could do, he just threw the ball as hard as he could with his eyes closed and just threw it. Well, if you think about it, right now, that's the same thing that's going on. It's like we just caution the wind, just trying without any effort, a little to no effort of us, we're allowing the young people to just go and grow. And instead of becoming fertile flowers and grass, they end up being weeds. But I said that because when I saw that play, I saw the old Dallas Cowboys players and stuff, and then they showed a current video of them, and I saw that they were aged. I saw them, some of them may have been crippled. And I'm like, man, I remember when they were so young and vibrant. Now they're seasoned citizens. The people that I used to see growing up, and they were like, wow, athletic. But now some of them, they're in wheelchairs. They're in crutches. They're on a walker, you know, on a cane. And so the people that we used to see growing up, now they have to be taken care of. We're raising people now that's going to be taking care of us. Like I said, my son, yes, I love him with all my heart, but I'm raising somebody's husband. He's my son, but he's going to be somebody's husband. And if I don't do my job as a father to help him to be a good husband, then he's going to be a dependent son. If I don't help him to become an independent husband, he will stay a dependent son. I want you to think about that. That daughter that you have, if you don't help her to understand of how to be a wife, how to choose a husband, if you don't help her to be an independent wife, you will be having and keeping a dependent daughter. Think about that. Are we helping them with the values and decision making? Like I said, yeah, my son could be a great husband, but he has to choose a great wife. And vice versa. Your daughter, your son, we got a responsibility. We need to be important. Well, and not well, you know, it's their decision. They make their own mistakes. But some people that make mistakes don't recover from it. We got to be able to help, you know. So the question is, we heard, but we still asking, what did they say? We asking, what did they mean? Did you hear what they say? Yeah, I heard what they said, but I don't understand what they said. Let's help them understand. Let's help them understand what they said. And so, yes, we have work to do. That's why it's so important for us to be prayerful. And not only be prayerful and pray for them, but let's live the life in front of them. Let's live the godly life. Because I'm going to throw it out there. Like I say, those that know me, I be very transparent. And I'm not going to take back anything I said. But yes, we can take them to church. We can be there at church. We can have them to see us in prayer, in praise, in worship from the heart. But let's live the life outside of the church. Let's live the life outside the four walls of the church. Don't let them see us sing and dance at church and cuss each other out outside of church. Dance and sing in the church, but we'll roll our eyes at them outside of the church, or they'll see us leave the hotel with somebody that's not our wife or not our husband. If you can't say amen, say ouch. So that's why it's so important for us. Let's be the example. Let's be the example. Are you your brother's keeper? Yes, you are. You are responsible. You have a responsibility. And matter of fact, I'm going to throw it out there. Being able to be willing to give them the advice. And it's not just me. I tell people, hey, look here. Those that know, those that have good intentions, hey, if you see my son, if you see my niece, if you see my nephew or whatever, yeah, talk to them, because it takes a village. I'm going to say it like this. People had love for me, and people took the time to talk to me and help me when I was in need. People had the opportunity to come and talk to me. Look, and it's not just them talking to me, but they talked to my daddy's son. They spoke to my mama's son. People showed the love. People showed the love of God to help. And that's what's so important. It's so important. Thank you. Thank you, Miss Simon and Rochelle. We need to be an example. If we see our fellow brother and sister, hey, let me talk to you. Do you mind if I talk to you for a minute? You know, hey, I'm going to tell you like this. And this is me being very transparent. One thing I can't say, I can't stand the guy walking around with his pants sagging down. That is so disrespectful, so distasteful. But he was told or taught, oh, they're just a fad, or that's cool. That ain't cool. That's disrespect. But instead of me just snurred up my nose and walking off, hey, maybe I can talk to him. Hey, man, can I do you a favor, man? Can we have lunch? Hey, man, pull your pants up, man. I'll buy you a belt. Matter of fact, I'll buy you a belt and lunch. How about that? Hey, say, man, you good? I see potential in you, bro. I don't want you to be mislabeled, man. I don't want you to miss your blessing. Look, I don't want your blessings to go ignored because of your appearance. But then there are some people, well, it ain't all about the appearance. It's more to me than meets the eye. But what we see is in the eyes of the beholder. So, dude, it's more to you. Show me your qualities. Look, make sure if the gift in you looks great, how about you make sure that the package look good too? Yeah. Let's love on each other. Let's spend quality time and talk to them. That way we can help them, for we can turn this world and this society right side up. And so with that being said, I hope and pray that there's something that was said to help us to understand that, look, we got work to do. We got work to do. And also for the young people, or even for the young people at heart, look, this ain't a knock. Look, I'm not trying to, look down upon you or whatever. I said, hey, my thing is, if in case you don't have anybody to talk to, you can call me. My number is 214-908-3056. I'm going to say it again, 214-908-3056. I'm going to throw it out there. I want to talk to you. I want to help. If nobody else helped you, I'll do it. If nobody else want to pray for you, I'll do it. If nobody else want to tell you about the love of God, if nobody else want to tell you that God made you beyond, that God made you more than just somebody that's going to be having babies after babies after babies, having seven babies by eight different men, is more to you than what's in between your legs. Young lady, is more to you than your figure. You got to have something here and here. And that's who I want to minister to. That's what I want to talk to. I want you to be able to know that God is a sustainer that will help you to keep yourself until you get married. And I'm not just talking to the young ladies either. I'm talking to the guys too. Fellas, God made you valuable. I know the devil trying to make you see, oh, that girl, oh, she's fine and this and that. Yeah, but you don't understand. It might be a trap. You got to be led by God's spirit instead of your emotions or what's between your legs. Look here, that old saying, like you're playing dominoes, all money ain't good money. Same thing pertaining to sex. Same thing. Fellas, keep yourself. I'm telling you from personal experience. Some, they think, well, you know, all I need to do to get that guy is just, you know, rock his world and blah, blah, blah. And I can get some babies by him and I can take his and take his future and all this. I'm telling you, you don't know. God knows your future, but the devil may try to put a plant there to take everything from you. I'm telling you, God made you a leader, young man. God made you with purpose, with an identity. God wants you to, I'm going to say it like that. I'm going to have to say it. God has a good young lady for you, but he trying to trap you with somebody that's trying to make your life hell. Yeah. He trying to make your life complicated. God made you to be a leader, but you are ending up with somebody that's keeping you down, dragging you down. I found out one of the key things, one of the most important decisions that we make in life is, number one, our willingness to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, but also who we date or who we marry. I can't emphasize that enough. I'm throwing it out there. I'll tell you like this. I've been praying for my son's wife. I've been praying for her ever since he was like 3 or 4 years old, maybe 2 years old. Matter of fact, I got my oil right here. I got my blessed oil right here. I put this on me every morning and before I go to bed. But also, what I do, I put it right here. I put on my ring finger. When I see my son, I'm praying for him, and I'm touching his ring finger. I'm praying for his wife right now. I'm praying not just for the wedding, but I'm praying for the marriage right now. That's what daddy's doing. I'm not saying mama ain't doing it, but I'm telling you, it's my responsibility. It's good for both parents to do it. But even if both parents don't do it, men, that's your seed. Pray for your children's marriage. Yeah. My son come from a divorced parent. I came from a divorced parent. But you know what? I'm praying to God, break that generational curse. God, help me to be able to show him. Yeah. The first marriage didn't work out, but the next one will. Yes, it will. Yes. And I'm going to be here to testify about it, too. So I want to tell you, we got work to do. We ain't got time to be, oh, well, you know, I guess I've never seen so many people that profess to be believers. And we're so fearful. We're so hopeless. We've been going to church for 133 years and still not convinced that God's word is truth. The devil is a lie. Mm-mm, no, indeed. So I'm telling you, each and every one of us, we got work to do. We can do it. And so as we get ready to pray, I want us to be able to think about, we have different needs, different concerns, but most importantly, we got to give every one of these young people, we got to give them an opportunity by our life. We got to give them an example. Let us be an example to them. So I want each and every one of us, if we get a chance, God, look here, God going to set the scene. God going to set the scene. We talk about, ooh, yeah, that person need help. That person need help. That person need to do. Okay, but when that young person come, they may not look like you. They may not have come from your culture. They may not be your race. That's two different things, race and culture. They may not be your age demographic. They may not be your age. They may not be within your age range. They may not have the same lingo as you. Look, we may say, hey, how you doing? They may say, what's up? Hey, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? You come from a loving family. And that person over there that's looking at you like they hard and everything, you don't know their story. They've been in foster care, under foster care, in foster care. Some of them, they might have been raised by a two male parent home or a two female parent home. Or what if there was no adults at all? Because, you know, there are some young people, you know, they were raised by their older brother or sister. They have to take care of themselves, fend for themselves, while their mother either was at work at day or walking the street at night. I know some. Yeah. So I'm telling you, there's work for us to do. Like I said, we say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, God, help me to be a blessing to someone. And now, here comes the opportunity. What are you going to do? So with that being said, I want to once again thank God for the graduates. I want each and every one of us to know that God can help us to be able to help them and for us to be an example. But also, I have to say this. Look here, even for those that may be watching, I want to tell the youth, the younger folks, regardless if you're in middle school, high school, elementary school, we as adults, we owe you an apology. Yeah, we owe you an apology. We may not have known everything. Guess what? We don't know everything. Some of us, we have gotten it wrong. Some of us, we have misjudged. We have prejudged. And we owe you an apology. And I want you to know that you are loved in spite of how we treated you. You are loved in spite of what we said about you. First of all, you're loved by God, and there are people that are here on this earth that love you. But maybe our hatred screams louder than the whisper of love that people are trying to give to you. With that, we apologize. In just case some of us as adults are too stubborn to apologize, on behalf of those stubborn adults, I apologize to you on their behalf. So now, let's work together and allow us to be able to be introduced to the one that loved you before you were even born. Before you were in your mother's womb, you were yet loved. And God allowed you to be able to see this episode right here to let you know and to affirm and confirm to you that you are loved. This right here, this is not an accident or it's not a coincidence that you are seeing this. This is love orchestrated by God Almighty to let you know that there is hope. You're not an accident. You're not an incident. You were purposed to be here. And I apologize for any hurt and the discomfort that us as adults has caused you in your life. Even for the fathers that was not in your life. Even the father who may not own you or may have abandoned you. That father that did not acknowledge you. We apologize. But I want you to know, even their father, hey, their father, he may have taken his attitude on you, on how he felt or what was going on between him and your mother. It ain't right. But sometimes we as adults, we get it wrong. But in spite of, God promised that he can heal every hurt. He can heal any wound, regardless of if it was intentional or accidental. everything that may have transpired in your life, God can turn it for your good. Everything that the devil tries to do to take you out, to consider going out, to consider you're worthless, to consider that you mean nothing, the devil is a lie. Because this right here, this episode that you so happen to be watching, is letting you know, in spite of everything that was said or done, you're still here for a reason. And that reason is for his glory and honor, but also you getting the benefits. You're valuable. I want to encourage that person who felt like they were in the dumps. I want to encourage you to start looking at that person in your mirror. You need to start spending quality time. Because one of the things I always tell people is being hypocritical for you to encourage everybody else, but fail to encourage that person that's in your mirror. I want you to be encouraged to know that God loves you and God cares for you. I want to encourage that person that's maybe listening right now. You're trying to find your purpose in your life. Look, God knows it. Talk to him. You don't have to have the proper etiquette to talk to God. Oh, the great Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The beginning and end. No, look and say, God, look, I am lost. I need you right now. Be real with God. Talk to God. That's what's going to help. Talk to God. God wants a personal relationship with you. He wants an intimate relationship with you. Yeah, with you. Why are you? The same God that we read about in the Bible that, you know, made a way for Moses and the Israelites to help David defeat Goliath. That same God, yeah, he wants a relationship with you. Little old you. Yeah. Yeah. He said, come. Come. The Bible said, come unto me, all that is labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Rest. It's time for you to be able to give and cast all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. He cares for you. He loves you. He's concerned about you. And I want you to know it ain't hard. Romans 10:9 tells us, if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus Christ as thy Savior and believe with your heart God will raise him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Know that it ain't hard being saved. It ain't hard. No. No. God will help you with every struggle, everything that's going on in your life. God can help you and God want to help you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. We thank you, Lord, for your awesomeness. We come to you right now, God, we acknowledge your presence on today. We come to you right now, God. First of all, God, forgive us, God, us as adults, God, and we have failed, God, to be the example to the young people, God. And we have failed to even show love to them. God, forgive us, God. And God, we thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. And Lord, we even ask for forgiveness to the people, God. And God, we thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. We receive your forgiveness. And God, we thank you right now, God, for another opportunity, God. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, God. Thank you, Lord, for your undying love right now, God. God, we thank you, Lord, for the purpose and the plan that you have orchestrated for us right now, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we speak it right now, God, for those young people who may be watching right now, God. Guide them, God. Reveal the purpose and plan you have for them right now, God. Help them, God, to seek you in every area of their life right now, God, to consult with you right now, God. In the name of Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord, for everything you've done, but most importantly, everything that you are. And, Lord, we ask you, God, to help those, God, who are grieving, God. God, we're speaking right now, God, that you comfort them right now, God. Be with them right now, God. Help them to lean on you right now, in this hour, right now, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your hedge of protection right now, God. God, we thank you right now, God, for not giving up on us, God. God, we thank you, Lord, for working everything out right now. In the name of Jesus, we're buying everything the devil stands for. We count also the devil's assignment right now. In the name of Jesus, and Lord, we glorify your name, God. You are worthy to be praised. We lift you up where you belong right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you right now, God. God, we reference you right now, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we pour our heart out to you right now, God. In the name of Jesus, help us right now, God, to be right before you right now, God. Help us, God, to get it right with you right now, God, and others right now, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we speak right now, God. Those who may be struggling, God, mentally, God, emotionally right now, God, speak the word to them right now, God. Rescue them right now, God, in the nick of time right now, God. In the name of Jesus, help them, God, who may feel the spirit of giving up, God. Help them right now, God, and encourage them right now, God, that weeping may endure but a night, but joy would come in the morning. And God, help them, God, to trust you, God. Help them, God, to rely upon you, God. Help them right now, God, to have the courage to fight right now, God. In the name of Jesus, we bind that spirit of giving up. We bind that spirit of fatigue. We bind that spirit of impatience right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you right now, God, for helping us right now, God. We thank you right now, God, for those who are seeking the purpose and plan that you have for them, God. We thank you right now, God, for us even be able to reconcile with you and with others right now, God. We thank you, Lord, for reconciliation, God. We thank you, Lord, for peace, God. We thank you, Lord, for the joy, God. We thank you right now, God, for raising up bowed down heads right now, God. We thank you, Lord, for men and broken hearts right now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you right now, God, for the gift, God, of your Son, Jesus Christ, God. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of the Holy Ghost right now, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the impartations right now, God. We thank you, Lord, for the spiritual gifts right now, God. God, we thank you, Lord, for the insight, God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you, Lord, even in the midst of things that may be uncomfortable, God. Thank you, Lord, for helping us, God, to continue to praise and worship you right now, God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you right now, God. We thank you right now, God. Thank you right now, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you right now, God, for bringing peace to the mind, God, the troubled mind right now, God. In the name of Jesus, thank you right now, God, even for your safety, God, even though for your head to protection right now, God. Thank you, Lord, for your covering right now, God. Thank you right now, God. We thank you right now, God. Thank you right now for everything you've done, but most importantly, everything that you are. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen, amen, amen. I thank each and every one of y'all for tuning in. If you want to get in contact with me, my name is Brother Prater. You can see me on Facebook, Brother Prater, B-R-O-T-H-E-R, Prater, P as in Paul, R-A, T as in Tom, E-R. You see my daily devotion and my videos. Also, you can go to my app. I do have a mobile app. It's free. It's on Google, the Google Play Store, as well as iTunes, the iTunes Store. Brother Prater, you can get in contact with me. You'll see my store. You see everything pertaining to Brother Prater. You'll see it on there. So I thank you all so much for this episode, and I thank you for I thank the Lord for the change and the testimony coming from this. So I thank God for everything that he is, and I thank y'all for y'all attention, y'all love, y'all support, and I thank you so much. So just know, everything's going to be all right. Just hold on to God's unchanging hand. So thank y'all for listening, and be blessed, and have a great week. Take care.